It's the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast with your host, the Wolf and Action Jackson, who are keeping rock alive by talking classic rock, hard rock, progressive rock, heavy metal, 80s music, early MTV, UK vs. US chart success, and much more. This is the home of classic album and live concert reviews, and your place for interviews with artists and legends. You're rocking with the Wolf.
Hey out there, rock and rollers. Welcome to 173rd episode of the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast. Brought to you by me, your host, Mac B. the Wolf, and I will be joined, as usual, by my partner in crime from the East Coast of the United States of America, Gary Action Jackson. And we appreciate you guys tuning in the last two episodes. A couple of amazing guests on our show. Last week was Mel Gaynor, the longtime drummer from Simple Minds, talking about his new album, Come With Me, which is out May the 3rd. And he shared some great stories from being in Simple Minds over the years. Great story about making the Alive and Kicking video. You'll have to listen to that. And before that, the legendary Steve Hackett of Genesis fame, who has a new album, Circus in the Night Well, which hit number one on the rock album charts in the UK. And he is currently touring the US right now. I think as we record this, he just hit Mobile, Alabama, and is now heading his way up north just a little bit here. So go to HackettSongs.com, where you can not only order the album, but read Steve's blog of his tour and see which dates may be coming to your area before the middle of April in the U.S. But this week, we go back to our hard rock roots to celebrate an album that is turning 40 here very soon, and that's the Scorpions' Love at First Sting. Now, being children of the MTV generation, the first introduction we had to the Scorpions was Rock You Like a Hurricane, the video of them in a makeshift cage, rocking out to their big song with a bunch of scantily clad 80s women all around them. It's a very 80s video, but it left a big impression on us. So when we found out this was turning 40, we knew we were going to have to review the album. Obviously, the Scorpions are a German band, so you don't hear a lot of German acts, but the Scorpions are legends. And this album really helped solidify them as hard rock heroes. And the tour was huge for them. Took them all around the world over the course of a year and a half, 2 years. And after having a successful performance at the US Festival in 1983, they just built momentum and delivered Love at First Sting in early 1984 and toured the world and elsewhere to support it. Also has big hits like Big City Nights and Still Loving You on there. And you'll hear us talk about the lyrics a little bit. Look, they're German. English is not their first language. So sometimes there is a little lost in translation there. There is a little phrasing that you probably wouldn't use if you were using English as your first language. You kind of got to give them a break on that and just appreciate the killer riffs from Rudolf Schenker and the guitar magic of Matthias Jabs. And even if you don't always love the lyrics that Klaus Meine is spitting out, you have to respect his voice. He's really underrated in his era. So we're going to go track by track and review the videos, which were a big part of this album breaking so big. Triple platinum in the USA. But first, we have a little bit of business. Of course, we always like to mention that we are proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a family of about 100 different shows, all genres. There really is something in there for everyone. You can check them out at pantheonpodcast.com or follow them at Pantheon Pods. And you have to visit our sponsor, rarevinyl.com. Now, they're based in the UK, guys, but they've got albums and CDs, singles, tour programs, you name it, from all around the world. And yes, they do have some Scorpions items, whether it's picture discs or first edition prints or prints from Germany or the Netherlands or Japan or something like that. You can find the rare stuff at rarevinyl.com. The great thing is they've given us a code, UGLY, U-G-L-Y, that if you use that when you check out, you can save 10% off your entire order. Not just one thing, but everything in your order. So don't just go buy one single and save yourself a buck. Go buy that hard to find album. Go buy that rare picture disc or that import you can't find anywhere else. Buy them all, and you can save 10% all of them. Maybe you'll get your shipping knocked off, because they do ship all around the world. Their team takes great care in not only collecting these things and procuring them, but then cataloging them, making sure they're in the condition they say they are, and then making sure they get to you in the condition in which they were advertised. So visit rarevinyl.com. Find something that you love. In fact, find a few things. Use the code UGLY and save yourself 10%. Now back to the Scorpions. Always liked the Scorpions. And you could say this was the high point for them, but I do think that when the Wind of Change song came out, when the Berlin Wall was coming down in the early 90s, that was probably a bigger high point for them. I'm sure that song Wind of Change sold a little bit better, maybe did higher in the charts. But when you say Scorpions, the first song they think is Rock You Like a Hurricane. And that song is 40 years old now, my friends, which makes me, oh goodness, I don't want to think about it. Let's just get on to the music, shall we? We're talking about Scorpions' Love at First Sting as it turns 40 here on The Wolf. I loved it. I mean, as soon as I obviously listened to the record a few times, but when they're videos, I'm like, I want to go see the video. Mm-hmm. And when the Big City Nights, for whatever reason, was the one I looked at last, and I was like, oh, now this is the 80s. This is what I'm talking about. And please tell me they have a long form video, which they did. They had Worldwide Live, which came out on VHS in 1985, kind of capturing them all over the world. And, you know, to Rudolph, I mean, to see him hopping around like that, just with all that energy, I feel like he was probably just psyched that he had made it, kind of thing. You know, if you start in 65, first album is 72 with your little brother, and it's not it's a weird bluesy, almost proggy thing. It's kind of, it's not what you think of when you think of the Scorpions. Then right. Because you're opening for UFO, he gets picked off. So then you have to get Uli John Roth in the band, which is good for the band. You know, they make some big albums with some incredibly odd covers on them. The Scorpions had some of the weirdest and oddest album covers in the history of ever. But then, you know, and of course he comes back and then he leaves again. And then you get Matthias in there. And then Matthias, all right, you and Matthias, Rudy, that's the guitar sound. It's locked in. But this album is the 9th record they ever made. And it goes triple platinum in the U.S. Double platinum at the time, but triple platinum by the 90s. That's a long way. I mean, you're 35, 36 years old, and this is happening finally after all these years. No wonder he's so happy on stage. You know?
And what I didn't realize either is that he writes all of the music.
Yep.
I mean, they say, you know, composed by Rudolph. So it's got to be exciting for him because these are his songs. Everybody else is kind of, you know, they're in the band and they're happy to be there. But this is something that he created. And I think at this point in time, he would write the music and then Klaus would come in and put the lyrics in afterward. Mm-hmm. So they really are his, I guess, babies going out into the world and making it.
Well, yes, you're right about that. But he doesn't play lead that much.
Right.
Like it's mostly Matthias, or used to be Uli back in the day, or even was his little brother maybe even the very beginning. And it's weird to think that people talk about how amazing Michael Schenker did on Lonesome Crow when he was like 18 years old or 16 or something like that. He was just a kid. The first time Michael Schenker, played with the Scorpions, he was like 11 on stage with his brother at some point in the 60s. That's nuts. But all right, so they go forward here, and he doesn't want to write the words. Well, all right, that's not his thing. But we have to make fun a little bit of the lyrics.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, yes, they're very simplistic. But you got to understand, or I have to keep in my mind the fact that this is not their first language. It's got to be rough to try and compose these lyrics in a language you don't speak, put it into these songs, and have it go along with the music that's already there. But yeah, they're not very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is where we as Americans are jerks. Because we make fun of people whose English is not that good.
Right.
And meanwhile, we can't speak any other language at all. We don't even try, you know, and we're over in Europe saying, hey, can you help me? It's like, oh, you're American.
How come everyone doesn't speak English here?
Yeah.
Why aren't just signs in English?
So, yeah, it's like, because we do not speak English, you American asshole, you know. You American sack of sheet.
That's me.
That's right. But sometimes the English are worse at it than we are. But anyway, at least we're nice about it. I'm sorry. I don't speak whatever it is you're speaking.
Well, yeah, whatever language this is, I don't speak it.
Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
This is Sunny Hollywood Pooney, and you are listening to the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast. Why? Somebody has to.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Here we go. Bad Boys Running Wild.
Actually, quick aside there. That was going to the original. Not many people know this, but that was the original title of our podcast.
Yes, that was the original title of our podcast. It was also the working title of this album, by the way.
Oh, jeez. But you got to figure like, this is somebody thinking like, what do Americans want? What is it? What is a cool thing to say in English? Oh, bad boys. We're bad boys running wild. Okay.
Bad boys running wild.
And you can, if you actually listen to the way that he sings, his accent comes through pretty clear on a lot of these things.
If you do. Yeah. If you really focus on a few, yes, you're right. But my question is, because, you know, we look at the charts and stuff. Did the Germans not like the Scorpions that much because they did sing in English and not German? I was asking my old man about it because he's asleep underneath the studio here right now. He was based in Germany, was in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I know you had like, you know, Armed Forces Radio, but did you have it? And he just interrupted me. He's like, that's it, because everything else was in German. And they like stuff like Motown stuff, but like everything was in German. So I'm like, yeah, they probably, you know, didn't have much English speaking stuff. The songs, they may have had English speaking music because they liked the Beatles and they liked some of that Motown kind of stuff, but they didn't, it wasn't all in German, obviously. And I'm seeing how these things get awards in certain countries, hit the charts in certain countries, and Germany never shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to me.
Well, and the other thing too you got to think is that this band was built, even though they are German, it was built for an American audience. And so, yeah, maybe there was some backlash of this isn't traditional. This isn't what we usually hear. You're kind of like a sellout.
This is not Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
This is not Hasselhoff. But the Blackout album came out in 1982, so that was the one that they had most recently made their eighth album, if you can believe that.
And I didn't realize too, at that point in time, Klaus had some major throat problems.
Right. Yes, we had to talk about that.
Yeah, and had to go down with, you know, surgery and everything else, and they didn't know whether he was ever going to make it back again.
So that's pretty crazy, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
And Love Drive did fairly well with Michael Schenker back, but then he left right after again because he didn't like playing other people's tunes. So he left right away, and then they got Matthias in, and they do, what did they do? They did Animal Magnetism?
I think. Yeah, correct.
Between Love Drive and Blackout. So that's their first kind of with this lineup again. And No One Like You is a pretty big hit for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also songs like China White on there, Blackout, Dynamite. You know, this is kind of the stuff that they like to do. And then, yes, Klaus is having a problem. So, you know, it almost didn't happen, or at least not with this lineup. I'm sure the Scorpions would have gone on, but it's tough. Back then, you didn't even consider changing the singer.
Right. Yeah. Especially somebody like that who has that distinctive voice that you've already built how many records off of. And now you would have to theoretically change that up. That would have been a big stumbling block.
No doubt. Now, the
the cover, which was done by Helmut Newton, who's a very popular artist, photographer.
Yeah, when I saw that name, I'm like, that's the name sounds familiar, but not in the rock and roll world.
Yeah, well, he's not nearly as big as his cousin Fig, who had a huge career here in America.
And that didn't an apple that was no one likes
with the Keebler elves.
Yeah,
but you know, compared to some of the, and I know I think they made a second cover. Like there's a quote unquote clean alternate cover that has the guys like all in leather, like standing together.
Correct. That was I believe the Walmart special.
But the thing is, compared to like Love Drive, it's really not that bad. I mean, it's two people kind of, yeah, embraced, and he's macking on her neck and stuff, and you kind of see some side boob there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's not. Love Drive is like the worst cover I've ever seen. It's scary and weird.
Love Drive is weird, correct. But then Animal Magnetism, if you look at it for a minute, you're like, okay, this is very derogatory.
This is very strange. Yeah, I don't think I get it.
I can't believe that. You look at this, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess. Like you said, there's a little side boob there.
It's
but
sexy,
I mean, nothing,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing overtly crazy about it. I find it odd that you think that American people would wear those boots that he's got on, which are just silly looking.
Uh-huh.
But that's, again, I think that's, you know, you're trying to make this for another audience. But yeah, I don't mind that at all. But again, in 1984, we probably had people freaking out that this was going to corrupt an entire generation.
Yes. It's, oh my God. You see what these Germans are doing? There's high boob on there and they're kissing and legs are wrapped around each other. And you know what that means, don't you? You know what that leads to, don't you?
A good time.
Also didn't know that. So it was recorded in 83 and 84, but the sessions, and that was in Germany, but the sessions took place at Polar Studios in Stockholm with Jimmy Bain and Bobby Rondinelli on the drums. Like, as far as setting up the first songs.
Okay.
Now, nothing they played on it made it to the album. And I guess they had just gotten out of Rainbow or whatever, and they were looking for stuff to do. So maybe Rudy was like, all right, come to Stockholm and we'll lay down some tracks together. I don't know if they were looking to upgrade. I don't know if they were just like, these are session work and I don't need to involve the other guys yet. I don't know. But that's strange that happens.
But I think if you've got a situation where it's pretty clear that Rudolph is the leader of the band and he tells you what to do and you just say aye aye captain,
probably so, because Germans with crazy mustaches are apparently charismatic leaders. I don't get it. It puts fear in my heart, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm like, why don't you make him shave that thing off? Eventually he did.
Yes,
but back then it's like, why do you think that looks good, dude? That's,
well, it. And, you know, we you look at people from 1984, and I was thinking about Lionel Richie also when I was looking at this. Like, do you think he goes back and like, why did I just look like a dope?
No,
like,
man. Lionel looks cool.
With the big
furry mustache. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
And the afro, I mean, the Jerry curl and the ridiculous Bill Cosby sweater. No, that's a good look. That'll hold
up. The sweater we need to talk to him about. The Jerry curl was what was in style at the time. And look, the mustache was cool on Lionel. Like, Tom Selleck had a killer mustache, right? But that's not what Rudy has here. He has this crazy thing, and it just, and on the alternate cover where it's like super long. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Although at least on the alternate cover, they all look pretty cool. They've got the leather on. There's nothing. Nobody's, you know, got the huge jacket with the shoulder pads or anything. It's real simple, black and white. That's actually a pretty cool photo.
It is.
I
agree.
The other cover better.
And I know. And you never want to just put the band on the cover.
Right.
That'd be good for a back photo, but you don't want that on the front. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. But they had been building towards this for years, you know, like it'd been built. Love Drive went gold in America. Animal Magnetism went platinum. Blackout went platinum. So they've been building, you know, and it was like Canadian gold, Canadian platinum on Animal Magnetism and Blackout. So they're working towards something with this Love at First Sting.
Right.
And it must have gone over well because they didn't put out another album for 4 years after this. Savage Amusement didn't come out till April of 88. And even in the 90s, they didn't take that long between albums again. Mm-hmm. So they must have made some bank on this to be able to go, you know, tour for a while, tour big, and then take some time off Love at First Sting.
And it's interesting you say that because that was probably what the story was. I mean, you go on this giant world tour, but there are some themes in here about being on tour and maybe the toll it takes on you, and you kind of just want to break after a while. And like you said, this was what, their ninth album. So you get done with this and you're like, yeah, I just need a break. I just want to go home. You made some money. I want to relax. Because, yeah, that was a long time between records, 84 to 88.
Right. I mean, like, Def Leppard took about that much time between Pyromania and Hysteria, and their drummer lost an arm, you know.
Right.
And you know, and there was other car accident. Mutt Lang was in a nasty car accident. Like, bad stuff kept happening to them. So I think maybe Klaus is like, okay, look, I just used my reworked voice very hard for a long time, and we need to take a little time off here. And maybe that gives people time to do side projects and things like that. I don't know. But yeah, I would much rather have the original album cover than the clean album cover. Do you have any Scorpions albums in your collection?
I don't own any personally, no. I probably had this one somewhere on a bootleg tape at some point in time, but no, I don't ever remember going out and buying any of these. They just didn't attract enough to me to buy the whole thing. And I'll get into that later too, because they're kind of going for one audience, in my opinion.
Well, and what's that one audience? The hard rock American audience?
the one that, you know, you're pulling the T-tops off the Camaro. Like, yeah. And you know, they don't really change it up enough for me on this record. I'm not saying that it's bad. It's just we're kind of doing the same thing, marching to the same beat on the entire record.
All right. Yeah, I got you there. And when we lived together, I bought Scorpion's Best of, like, Ballads and Rockers or something like
that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it came out in 89, I think it was, right after Savage Amusement. So it may have had like some singles, some non-album singles, but it had a lot of stuff from this album. It had stuff from Savage Amusement, it had stuff from Love Drive, and then maybe a couple from Blackout. That was kind of it. The older Uli John Roth stuff
wasn't
on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I also got Lonesome Crow at some point on Amazon. It was $4 for the CD, plus we'll put it straight into your digital music collection.
Okay.
So I kept hearing about from Eddie Trunk and all these people, like, oh, you got to hear Lonesome Crow. Michael Schenker's amazing. He was just a kid. And it's weird. I mean, it's not, if you enter on Rock You Like a Hurricane, like we did, to go back and listen to that, it's kind of weird. It's like, it's not really the same band.
I do like that, though, when you kind of work it backwards and you say, oh, this is where they came from.
And that's what everyone should do. And that's part of why we do our show. Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. This is Chris Slade, drummer of AC/DC and many others. And you're listening to the ugly, I mean, really ugly, Werewolf in London.
Hey, folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
So, well, let's get into this. Yes, all lyrics are Klaus Meine, all music is Rudolf Schenker, except once in a while, someone else might get in there.
Right.
And we start off with Bad Boys Running Wild.
Which correct.
Is a pretty good, I mean, look, from the name of the song, like, that's a killer opener. That's exactly what you should be starting with, something like that. What did you think about it?
But I like the arpeggio deal at the beginning. That's pretty hot to start the thing off. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't overwork it. It's only a very short amount of time, and then they go into the main riff. And again, the lyrics are kind of silly, but you know, it's a good anthem. Again, you know, you've got the Camaro warmed up now. You're out. You got the tape deck in. You're ready to go. You mm-hmm. are the bad boy running wild this evening.
That's true. You're creating an image, right?
Correct. Yeah. The other kind of cool thing about this is too, you've probably got 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, maybe even 5 songs that you could have started with.
Yeah.
So it's the only, my only problem on this one is it sounds a little recycled from Big City Nights, or maybe vice versa.
Well, we don't know that yet though. So when you,
right.
When you start off listening to this, yeah, heavy opening riff, it's kind of simple. Mm-hmm. But when you put some of the hot licks from Matias on there, hot yeah. licks of the day, it's pretty good. It is the B-side to Big City Nights. So they're like, hey, if you like this one, flip it over. You'll like the other one just as much.
And it's kind of this is a trick that I think a lot of these guys use at this point in time. And we talked about it a little bit with Motley Crue. The title is the chorus. So you already know what you're getting yourself into. It's easy to follow along with. There's not really a lot of nuance here where you know what to do once the chorus comes up.
Well, no, that's a good point. Yeah, they're not trying to hide it in the chorus what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like they name it one thing and then they sing something else. Absolutely not. You know, they're playing to their audience. Like, this is called Bad Boys. So, like, when you look at it in the record store, let me see the names of songs. Bad Boys Running Wild, Rock You Like a Hurricane. Okay, I like this stuff. All right, I'm going to go ahead and buy it.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right about that. But, you know, good way to come out and grab you, let you know, all right, this is what the album's all about. Good riff.
Mm-hmm.
Move you right into Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Easily their biggest song ever. Like,
yeah.
Easily.
Although, like, is it though?
You think Wind of Change is bigger?
I think it probably sold more copies.
And I'm sure it went higher in the charts all around the world. You're right. But when you're a hard rock band.
If you say Scorpions, I say Rock You Like a Hurricane. Like, that's the first song I think of.
Exactly. Right. I mean, yeah. When you say Motley Crue, give me Motley Crue's best song that, you know, you might hear Looks a Kill. You might hear Kickstart My Heart, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear Home Sweet Home for, you know, but that was probably like their biggest like radio hit or something like that,
yeah.
You know, because everyone loves a bad boy with a soft heart of gold, right? That's why Correct. You have the ballads in there.
This one's for the ladies.
So yes, it went to US 5 on the top rock tracks and 25 on Billboard,
mm-hmm.
but only went to 78 in the UK. And I'm like, what is wrong with you all?
Okay.
I'm trying to defend the UK here in my podcast all the time. Like, they've got all this great music in the UK and a lot of different things get in the charts. And I'm looking around like, what else was in the charts then? And there was some Lionel Richie on there. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's got a lot of, you know, behind it. It's got, you know, some big muscle behind it. And you've got like the theme song of Torval and Dean from the Olympics. I'm like, oh God, what is wrong with you limeys? I mean, it's a little more eclectic, and I'm like, but so I'm just thinking that did they not make a push in the UK? It's like, we're going to make the push in the US. We're going to make the push in Japan, and the UK can kind of fit in with the rest of Europe. And I feel like the UK wants their own push, and maybe they just didn't do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe there was some pushback from them being German. Who knows?
I don't know. They seem to like Kraftwerk. They seem to like Nana. 99 Luftballons.
Oh, although with this one, though, when you listen to it, he does a pretty good job with this, because the intro riff is pretty easy and recognizable. And then you put the I don't want to say fluff, because it's not fluff, but you put the harder stuff on top. And, you know, if you're 15, 16 years old, I can't play the lead part, but I can play the hell out of that main riff.
Exactly. It's instantly recognizable. It's simple, but it's heavy. Especially for the day. you know, and come to the video, this very 80s video. I love it. It's so 80s because people still didn't really know what they were doing. So they went out and had fun with stuff, you know, and I mean, Rudolph and Francis look like KK Downing and Glenn Tipton of Judas Priest, like going back and forth like that, you know.
Yeah,
that's fun. And so they put them in the middle of like a fence of like a temporary kind of fence.
I was going to say, which, by the way, is not OSHA compliant. That definitely is just, it's just buckling and it doesn't look safe at all.
If you put that up at a rock show, it would come down in like 3 seconds. But because they're telling these girls who have this, you know, very 80s makeup on, just shake it back and forth like they're animals in the cage.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to rattle them. So it's kind of like an octagon that's moving. It kind of gives it some motion,
right,
to the video and movement, which is kind of cool.
But wait, hold on, we got to back up for a minute though. At the beginning of the video, they all wake up in like pods or something. Like,
yes,
wait, what are we even doing here? Like, this doesn't make any sense, but yeah, what the hell, throw it in there, let's go.
Yeah, it's like they're from outer space or something like that. Or they're cyborgs that they need to sleep in these chambers before they get ready. And yes, and there's five of them, so it's kind of like in this star pattern, yeah, or whatever. The other thing we have to talk about is when Klaus comes in to get the microphone, mm-hmm, there's like a dude standing on his head and like the microphone's on his feet. And I'm like, what has that got to do with anything? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, you know. And then like Klaus is singing, it's like he turns it upside down, he turns his fists upside down, so the microphone's coming out the bottom of his hand. But it's, yeah, I've actually never seen that before. And you think that's actually a pretty easy thing to do something different, is just spin, mm-hmm, your hand around like that. But I can't say that I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing with that. There's a lot of imagery in there that just kind of seems thrown in. I mean, I know they talk about, you know, the cats, you know, scratching my skin and stuff like that. So then they've got like, I think they've got a jaguar and a leopard running around in there, which, you know, are these things, are these trained? I mean, I don't know if I want to get that close to it.
Well, you know, but in Bad Boys Running Wild, they're talking about the cats and the dogs and the spiders and the snakes, like coming to get you. So they're using imagery that I think will be scary or tough.
Right.
You know, in some
I'm just talking about once I get to the set and they, I see this giant, you know, I want you to stand right next to this panther. I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm not doing it.
I don't think that's the same. No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Until it's not. Oh, thank you.
I'm actually surprised this song hasn't been like canceled at some point, you know, because like they play New Orleans. Do you know how many lives were lost in the hurricane? I feel triggered when you play this song.
You're right. Okay, we should never play this again then.
So I'm actually surprised. The B-side was Coming Home, which we'll get to here very shortly. They eventually did a reissue that had Still Loving You on the other side. Like you have a double A-side kind of thing for collectors.
Okay.
I'm like, that's kind of cool. But look, I feel like they got the time and the place of where they were. They understood the power of MTV and they captured it really well with them. And I'm not going to call him Francis anymore. I'm calling him Frankie. With Frankie and Rudolph just kind of doing their jibing, dancing back and forth together, and Klaus doing his thing.
Yeah, for a long time, I really didn't like the bass in this because I thought it was too simplistic. Like, you got to give them a chance to do something, but that just that one note, it works really well on this because you've got the main riff, you've got the lead riff on top of that, and just that bass of boom, boom, boom. You know, you get the crowd pumped up with that. You know that it fits in pretty darn well on this song.
Yeah, you've already got the rhythm of Rudy setting it, so you don't really have to do that. You've got Matthias doing, you know, that's over, so you can't get too crazy on it.
Right. So if you threw something else in, it would be too much, and so that's perfect. And the solo on this one is pretty hot too.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I had this on the Adrenaline Mix, the 1992 Adrenaline Mix.
Ooh.
Because I actually used to run.
Yeah.
For fun. and I had a Walkman, you know, and I took this and put it on there with like Come On Feel the Noise and all these like all of our like favorite like hot tracks with the biggest guitar solos on them, and this was a big part of it. Now, those two, the lyrics were also written by Herman the German Rarebell. Herman the German, which is good for him. Because I don't know how many times that's been played, Rock You Like a Hurricane. I know it's sold a lot, but that's probably something that's helped allow him to not be in the band for 30 years or whatever it's been. Something like that.
Yeah, if you were only going to write, well, I think it's two songs, you're glad this was one of them.
Absolutely. This is huge for him. And it's the reason, I mean, I think it's a big reason why they got on the Monsters of Rock tour. Would have been second, right? Because Metallica wasn't as big yet. The Scorpions are second below Van Halen.
Okay. Man, that would have been a great show to watch.
I know. Time Machine, rev it up.
Correct.
All right, moving on to I'm Leaving You. Again, this is a pretty good riff from Rudy. It was actually the last single. After they did, it was Rock You Like a Hurricane. Then they released, and that's February 84. Then they did Still Loving You in June, when the album is still doing well. And then later they do Big City Nights. Now that came out in the UK, I guess, but the video eventually made its way to the US. And as you can see, bits of the Worldwide Live video that they were recording at the time in there. Not only like the live show, but you know, some of the fun stuff in between the shows. And then I'm Leaving You, released in the US in 1984. I don't think it went much of anywhere. And I think it's because not just maybe people were, okay, that's enough, the Scorpions, but the lyrics are kind of just so-so.
I like the fact that they're not letting up here, though. This is the third one in a row that they're rocking out on. No ballad yet. We keep the train rolling. I don't ever remember hearing this one back in the day, though.
Nope, never. Nope.
It's not bad. If you watch the video, they're on some kind of janky bus from like the 40s or something is what it looks like. They kind of make it feel like you're in any town USA, but I've watched it more than once and I'm like, this isn't anywhere in the United States. I think they filmed this in Germany somewhere, because I'm like, it says welcome to Springfield or something, and there's giant mountains in the back. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. There are 11 different Springfields or 9, something like that in the United States.
I don't even know if it was Springfield, but whatever it was, I'm like, it doesn't. And the people there are like, these don't look like American people. You're trying to fool me into thinking that. You. But I think the thing is, too, again, they're playing to the American audience, and they're probably playing to the Germans in Germany who are like, yeah, it's America is the greatest place on the face of the earth. But all they do is hang out, and you're in this random town, and all of a sudden it turns out there's a whole baseball team full of super hot chicks that you just hang around with. It's the greatest thing.
It just happens, you know.
And the other thing, too, is that we're just kind of hanging out on the bus. And, you know, what are you going to wear today? Leopard skin pants? Cool, me too.
Sounds good. Good choice. Good choice there. Yeah, you shouldn't feel so blue. Shouldn't feel so blue when I go tonight, baby. You shouldn't feel so blue. Shouldn't feel so blue when I'm gone. I can't stay.
Right.
Keep me your mind till I come back to love you.
I'll be back. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll be back. No, I won't talk to any other girls while I'm gone. Nobody doesn't even say that. Crazy. All right, next is Coming Home, which I feel is just, it's a road song, right? It's a story of life on the road of a rock band. And it starts off slow before it breaks out to a fast rocker. But I think live, they kind of break straight into it being a fast rocker. At least that's what it seemed like on the Worldwide Live video.
Okay, they changed it up so did they take out the acoustic part?
They might have. They might have just changed that up a little bit, because it's the first song on the video, and you're not going to come out to a
to a slow one.
But maybe they just edited that part out. They start slow on it, and then once it builds up, they just cut straight to that in the video, because you can't you can't have that. You can't have a slow thing on it, you know. It comes straight out, you know, but some of this, I got to tell you, the lyrics on this, some of this is definitely English as a second language. You know, and I know it's not cool to say that, but honestly, if you were English or spoke English your whole life, I don't think you would write these lyrics. It's kind of like their buddies from Austria, Opus.
Okay.
Who had that big hit, Live is Life.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, yeah, that is catchy. All right, what are they singing about? When we all have the power, we all get the best.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute of the hour, don't think about the rest. I'm like, you just knew a few English words and you rhymed them together. Like, if you spoke English and only English, that would never even come to your head. Day after day out on the road, there's no place too far that we wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's like Yoda talks that way. Like, you know.
We go wherever you like to rock and roll.
Dream, we're going out on stage. It feels like coming home. Boy, you're home, you're dreaming. Don't you know the tour's still far away? Don't you know you're having just a break? Not you're just having a break. You're having just a break. Not English, but anyway. Or this could have been, Coming Home should have been a single. It could have been a single, at least the second part of it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the same thrill.
Yeah.
Fifth song on the first side.
Yeah.
If you're one of those cassette or LP people, and it's the shortest song on the record. Some crazy guitar under some bad lyrics.
Okay. Yeah. To me, this just seemed like they had the music. We like this track. Go get me some lyrics for this. Okay. They just kind of threw that together. I would have been okay actually on this if this was just an instrumental or them jamming.
It's, yeah. I'm a little surprised it wasn't the last song on the second side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, there's some great stuff by Matthias on here. So it's like, if you like guitar, you'll probably like this song, at least parts of it. But to get the same thrill like rock and roll is just, I had a feeling they couldn't buy. Still got the feeling they still can't buy. I kind of like that like I do something that no matter what you people do, you can't buy this. You can't have this without doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But to get the same thrill, like rock and roll. I mean, at the end, it is incredibly
repetitive. It's very repetitive. Yeah. I mean, I have a note here is that it this track is more simplistic. This is just more of a bed to solo over. That's what this is to me. There's a lot of noodling on this one. It's just he's just flexing out. Look what I can do on the guitar.
Yeah. When I came out of school, they said, which way you want to go? But there was no way strong enough compared with rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
No way strong enough. But I'm sure in German it made sense. But in English, it's kind of like, huh? But that's why, you know, when you get to like Bad Boys Running Wild or Rock You Like a Hurricane, you don't need to really hear what the other stuff is. You're shouting along to the chorus, just like a Motley Crue song. Like the lyrics are inane in Motley Crue. In this, they're kind of like, is that English? But you're there for the music. You're there for a certain feeling. Like you said, you're there to put the tops down, go cruise around the high school girls, even though you're 23. And you dropped out. That's okay. You know, go enjoy yourself, you know. And that's the first side of this, what would eventually be triple platinum, the biggest selling record in America for the Scorps. But you flip it and you get to Big City Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I consider the opening riff of this iconic, like hard rock.
Right. But you know how we talk about changing up the lead singers, and that's nice. You know, you get a little bit of a different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing that here, but they are changing up lead and rhythm. So now you've got Matthias doing the crunchy riff. And I really like the part that they let the bass do that boom, 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 boom. That's kind of cool. You didn't have to, but you let them do it anyway. And then the lead riff comes in. This is a good song. I like this one. This one doesn't get enough credit on this record.
Love it. Actually, yeah. I really, really love this song.
And then when you get into the video part and you see them, I can just imagine them, like we were talking about before, getting to the United States and just being like, this is everything we ever wanted.
Yes, exactly. The video is killer. It's awesome, you know?
And especially back then, it starts off with and has several scenes of delicious looking ladies on the beach. And like I said, I can imagine as a German coming over here thinking, I never want to leave this place.
Exactly. You know, and why wouldn't they come right. and live here for a while? They probably should have. But I mean, again, the opening lyrics are, "When the daylight is falling down into the night and the sharks try to cut a big piece out of life." So they're singing about a lot of animals on this album, between the spiders and the snakes and the sharks and the panthers in the video. I guess that's very rock and roll. I don't know. But here's the part that we need to look at. "Sunlight is rising up in my eyes, and the long night has left me back at somebody's side. It feels all right for a long, sweet minute like hours before, but it's more like looking out for something I can't find anymore."
Okay.
So to me, that's like, yeah, I came out here to be with girls, to play with girls. That's why I'm in a rock band. Love it. And now it's like, is that not as much fun as it used to be?
Yeah, maybe. And again, you go back to, even though this was maybe the first time we had ever heard of them, they've been around for a while.
Right.
And so maybe, yeah, it's like at this point in time, especially if you look at the Coming Home also, some of the lyrics, it's like, yeah, does it get old after a while? You think this is great. It's fun. But then you stay too long and you start to see the dirty parts of the city, and maybe this isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
I know. And then the second part after that is, "There is no dream that you can't make true if you're looking for love, but there's no girl who's burning the ice away from my heart. But maybe tonight," you know,
yeah.
It's like, the girl from last night didn't do it, but there'll be another one tonight. And if I heard right, I felt like I heard someone saying, you know, 250 nights a year we're doing this. I'm like,
oh, God,
250 nights. That's insane. Even for workaholic Germans, that's crazy, dude. You don't want to do that.
Well, okay, so you figure 250 nights, that's just the shows, right? Because you're going to have travel time in between them, and you only have 365 total. Yeah, that's a long time to be away.
That's a ton of work, and maybe they're including that time in the road, but I don't know. And
but even still, okay, so take that out. Say that's all in 250. There's no weekends, no anything. Like, you're going the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they didn't break it up like they would now. And the thing is, the Scorpions have been on like this farewell tour for like 7 years or something like that. Like, they're saying, okay, this is it. But then
they put out a new
record. Having demand, right? People keep saying, yes, come back and play. And now they've got Mickey D on the drums. And so it's like, it just kind of keeps going and going and going. They won't stop. And if you can keep making money, you might as well. That way you get to keep your crew together. You get to keep paying them. The company kind of keeps going and you keep making money. So as long as they're doing it, that's great. 14 US mainstream, but once again, 76 in the UK.
Hmm.
What is wrong with you, UK? Do you just not like
there's and there's
Scorpions?
Nothing you can't. Yeah, there's nothing you can't really like about this. The riff is cool. The solo is cool. The message is one of the time. I don't know what you didn't like about this one, UK.
I don't get it. No. And I know you didn't have MTV, but this video is perfect for the 80s. It's perfect. And to see Rudolph like just doing that jive back and forth, smiling the whole time with, you know, sweat dripping off his shitty mustache. I admire him. I'm like, he's 36 at this time. Like, this is when they're starting to saying you can't be a rock star maybe at this age. Certainly in a few more years, you're going to have to hang it up. he's making the most of it. He's having a blast up there every night, man.
And there's that scene where I don't know what's happening, but there's a cop and he takes the cop's helmet off and he puts it on.
His head.
You're gonna get a nightstick to the back of the head
exactly,
in a minute there, dude.
Man. Yeah, yeah. You don't mess with American cops, especially if it's California. Okay, you don't want to mess with those LA cops. Like,
they're already looking for a reason.
No, they're already pissed off. You know, so, they gotta deal with all these long hairs everywhere. Like,
correct.
Oh, just give me something to bash, you know. If you haven't seen the whole video, you can see the whole thing on YouTube. Plus, I think like latter day, they did a re-release like when DVDs came out. And so they have them doing interviews with like Klaus and Rudolph and maybe some of the other guys. So it's worth a watch because the original stuff is fun. But to learn a little bit about what they say about it is pretty great.
Hey, this is Scott Holiday from the Rival Sons. You're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf in London.
Okay, let's move on to As Soon as the Good Times Roll.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the best song on the record.
Okay.
It is not good.
All right.
Look, I would have just called it The Good Times Roll or Let the Good Times Roll. As Soon as the Good Times Roll. Again, I mean, this is just some weird lyrics. And Hard Times Go, As Soon as the Good Times Roll.
Yeah. What else do you want, man? As soon as the good times roll, hard times out the door.
If you feel real sad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Caught in bad vibrations.
Yeah.
And it seems you've lost your drive
right.
and your destination.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that life's passing by, catch the train of better times. Rock tonight.
Yeah. There you go. Problem solved.
Now I know why they won't let him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, man. Because if you feel that all your life is packed with complications and almost everything you try ends up in new frustrations, again, Americans would never write these lyrics. English people would never write these lyrics. I don't like this one. I don't like this. And in the bridge is like, when he sings, he holds that I so long.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
The one thing I will give you about this is, yes, the lyrics are silly. However, the chorus structure on this one, it's very, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. It's very pleasing. It gets hooked into your head. Like, I don't even know what they're saying, but it's like, you know, you can kind of hear it. The music on this one is better than the lyrics supporting
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you could have switched this up and made this a lot better with maybe some, I don't know, Desmond Child action on this one, or
it's just symptomatic of the album, really. Yeah, great. You put that for like six or seven of the songs on here. Great riff, but the lyrics aren't great.
Correct.
And the thing is, you're coming off Big City Nights that I think captures everyone's talent pretty well. Like, everyone's doing pretty good at this. And to go to this, it's a huge letdown to me. It's like, this is a B-side to me. This is not good.
But again, we're now into, well, no, this is only the second song on the second side. I thought they buried it a little farther, but no, they didn't.
It's 7 of 9, though. I mean, you got to think, if you decide it's good enough for the album, it's 7 of 9. You got to put it somewhere. At least it's on the second side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next sound, Crossfire.
Yes.
This is an anti-war song.
Yeah, correct.
That has the march on the drums at the beginning, so it's signifies,
you know, it's different.
This,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. It signifies a military motif.
Correct.
It's a very Cold War song. And the drums in the, like, the bridge or the middle are very stark next to the guitar. So I got to give them credit for writing this one. Living in a divided Germany. My guess is it wouldn't get played much, but I got to give them a lot of credit for writing this song.
And it's interesting, too, because we are trying to do these anniversary deals.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about how they're pretty much at ground zero for this deal. I mean, they're on the cusp of the Iron Curtain. They're still having some hard times with, you know, the rest of the world accepting, you know, kind of the new Germany, like, hey, This isn't the old guys. Mm-hmm. These are the new people. But they're, I mean, they're really sitting there, you know, on the doorstep of the basically who was the enemy back then, still are today, I guess.
And yet those are still your countrymen. They still right. speak your language.
Correct. Correct. You know? But the point that I was going to make about the anniversary is this a lot of the theme kind of a little bit of on About Face, David Gilmour's Cruise? You know, you've got, you're living in this land, but you're still living in this, there's still this shadow over the whole thing of at any moment, bad things could happen in a second. Like you could wake up and horrible things could be happening. Like every day you're living in fear of that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something there, you know, and all right, let's give him a break on the lyrics this time.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'll tell you that the part about, you know, that understand, that's creepy as hell. Like that's
understand.
Just, yeah, like that's just, it's really like you kind of get that feeling that they're living, like I said, every day with that, like, oh, this could go bad at any second.
Yeah.
You know, what is it? We don't want to fight. We're too young to die. No one will survive.
And we love our life. So
yeah.
Understand. Yeah. I get it, you know, and we're living in the crossfire and we'll be killed at first, you know.
Correct. Yeah. We're in the United States thinking, oh, yeah, that's a million miles away. You know, hope it works out for you. But, you know, we're going back to the beach in California.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going to go get our double bacon cheeseburger and just enjoy life here. I could be a lucky man, you know, but I'm living in the crossfire, you know, and why cannot people that we made the leaders of the world? Again, that would be that syntax. We would word that a little bit differently here in America. But understand, I mean, I think it's bold.
Yeah, it kind of sobers up the record here when we were just talking about, you know, hanging out, good times rolling, chicks everywhere. And now it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is still happening.
Yeah. So I give them credit for it, you know, and it's not one that I would listen to a lot, but you're going to make a protest song during the Cold War, something that you know a lot about. They might have had relatives on the other side. You never know.
Yeah.
East Germany wasn't that big a part of Germany overall, but I mean, it had half of Berlin, right? I mean,
right.
You know? And I think where they were in like Lower Saxony, you know, that's more like traditional Germany there. But still, I feel like this was kind of a bold statement for them. So proud of them for doing it.
But you're right. Yeah, there's no way this was getting played.
No, I don't think so. And then Still Loving You.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think this shows off Klaus Meine's range.
He's killing it on this one.
Right. I mean, he's just laying it out there for everybody to hear, like what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a sweet and sad opening on the guitar. Right.
Yeah.
And Klaus is kind of like time, maybe time. And then he bring. I can't even sing like him anymore. You know, he can take it up pretty high there. And yes, Rudy's on lead here. It's not real fancy, but it fits the song well.
Yeah. Definitely more. He's going more for the power than the speed on this one. Yeah.
Yes.
It fits perfectly. That would have been really weird if you had like this odd shredding solo on this one. And I think that the themes on this one are a little strange too, because, you know, we've got this, hey, we're all just a bunch of party guys. We love to hang out. You know, we'll just see who's hanging around after the show. And now you're talking about this love that's gone, that you can get back again, but I'm still in the middle of this.
Well, yeah, I think it's about a relationship that's over, but is it really? Is it 100% over?
Correct.
You know,
can we salvage any part of this?
And it could be about coming home. It's like, I know what you do on the road and we're broken up. And you're like, fine. And he goes on the road and he's fine. And then he comes back to Hanover or whatever. He's like, you want to come over for dinner one night, you know? And Herman was even like, no, we don't like to stay up and drink. There's no girls. There's no drugs. We like to go to bed and get a good night's rest. I'm like, I think you're lying, Herman.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what you're doing all the time. But it does. I mean, it's a power ballad.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows Klaus's clout with his voice and that, you know, Rudolph can do a little bit of lead. It went 36 mainstream rock, only 64 on the Billboard Hot 100. So it wasn't a huge hit for them. And the B-side was Holiday, which is off Love Drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is not even on this record, but okay. Yeah.
Went to 87 in Germany.
Hmm.
You tell me there are 86 songs better than this in Germany?
Well,
I don't think there were.
The first 20 are the Oompa songs, so after that.
And I'm sure Lionel Richie and Torval and Dean were all over that chart too, but still. Baby, try. Okay, but now the video is a performance video, right? It's basically, it shows them on stage, Klaus singing live. Then, for some reason, the last 10 or 15 seconds of the video, there's Rudolph like on a cliff, or at least overlooking the water, and not in like his performance spandex. He's got more like a shirt and pants on. Like, and I'm like, that's weird that it's just that little one clip that they threw in there. It's like, what's the point of that? Because it kind of starts off with like, it looks like people are walking into a show or something like that. And then it's performance video. Okay, great. They may show some people in the audience. And then there's just one little clip of Rudolph, like it's dusk out over the water with his guitar. I just thought that was weird. That's just like a weird thing that you throw in there.
Yeah. Or was that part of something else? Like you had this grand concept that got scrapped and they just said, just do it up on stage. I don't know. Yeah, it does not fit with anything else.
It does not fit.
One of these kids is not like the others.
It's just kind of weird. But that was the 80s, and I kind of like that stuff overall, to be honest with you. They toured hard on this. The Love at First Sting tour went from 1984, and Rock You Like a Hurricane came out in February of 84, before this comes out in March of 84. Love at First Sting, they toured from 84 to 86.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and they may have taken months off here and then done some, you know, festival shows one summer, and that's kind of all they do for a while and all that. But still, that's a heck of a lot of touring.
Right. And so especially
if you're burn them out.
Yeah. Especially if you're coming here, you're not going home. This isn't private jet time. This is, you're there, you're going to suck it up and tour quite a bit.
But they did have private jets.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did have private jets. Yeah. Look, you're playing that many dates all over the place. And they did several tours of America, several legs of America, going to Japan. I'm sure they went to Australia too, hitting Europe, their home country and stuff. They just worked. They went out there and worked it. Must have made a small fortune on it. And I think this is the one that really set them up for success going forward, because they did do this huge tour and then they did take a break and they come back with Savage Amusement in time to do Monsters of Rock, which I bet was fun for them because they don't have to headline. They can be with other bands. I mean, I've only heard good things from people who were actually there.
Yeah, I think they do. They do bring it live.
Yeah, and you could see their stage was cool for that time. Of course, you know, on the bottom of the Monsters of Rock tour was Kingdom Come.
Okay.
Featuring one James Kotak on the drums.
Oh.
So when it was time for Herman Zugerman to bow out, they already knew this crazy guy, so they're going to put him in there. But yes, he died not all that long ago, James, and I was bummed that we didn't have him on the show because he is from Louisville, like me, and I'm confident we could have gotten him on. It's just kind of like I'm always working on something else. I'm like, okay, I got to think of what do I need to talk to him about before I ask him to be on the show, and I never did it, so that's a regret. So sorry we never had James on, but I hope he's in a better place because apparently he had some issues that he couldn't overcome.
Sad to hear somebody like that, because I mean, you're right, we could have, this that would have been a cool thing to talk to him about. I mean, because he, like you said, he was there for a long time
and he was in the Cult for a little while, Jackson, so
okay, that's right.
You would have been all over him about
that.
Yeah,
that would have been. He would have been looking at his watch the entire time. Okay. So what about this? Oh my God.
So the Scorpions, after 8 albums, after nearly 20 years for Rudolph, and a few significant lineup changes, finally they kind of hit the big time, and they're already pretty big. Blackout was a big album for them. Love Drive is big. Animal Magnetism. All these sold well, and it was building and building, and now it's early to mid 80s, that heavy metal, hard rock, Judas Priest, Van Halen, Iron Maiden is doing well, Quiet Riot, all doing well about this time. And they're like the old pros who are ready to go and seize what is theirs. And this album is the one that I think has allowed them to tour for the next 40 years.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they had that in mind. They knew who their audience was, and they put together an album that was straight down the middle. If this is your cup of tea, you're going to like this whole thing.
And they are touring this year, playing Turkey and Kazakhstan and the UAE. All right, yes, they play Las Vegas in April. Looks like they've got a bit of a residency there in Vegas for a while, coming up in April, several weeks. Yeah, but then they go to Bahrain, they go to Turkey. They are playing Wembley on Saturday, June 8th, for all our British fans out there, playing the Ziggo Dome in Amsterdam on the 11th. Portugal, France, Belgium, Slovakia, Hungary, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Germany, Spain, Poland, Czech Republic. They have no interest in retiring. They just kind of keep going.
Yeah, this is what they do. Now, it's interesting because if you're looking at their website, they're in the live part. They're talking about the Vegas stuff is celebrating 40 years of Love at First Sting. Are they going to play the whole record?
I don't know.
That would be interesting because it kind of looks like that's all over that. And I mean, it's only what, 40 minutes?
Right.
So you could easily play that and get some of the other hits in there also.
Oh, but what's cool too is if you go to another spot, like lower on that site, it has all their tour dates from all of their previous tours.
Oh, cool.
It is kind of cool because then you can go out and see every place they hit. And it looks like that they were touring England in January of 84 before Rock You Like a Hurricane even came out. Yeah, January 23rd in Birmingham of 1984, right? Couple nights at the Odeon, okay. Sheffield, Glasgow, Newcastle. So they're hitting the UK hard, but apparently didn't pay off in record sales. They're touring all around Europe here in the early part of the year, and then they get to America. Looks like they start on the West Coast, you know, like Seattle, Spokane, Eugene, Portland, Boise, hitting it hard before they start making their way through like to Texas, where you know they had some fun there. Let's see. Yeah, Sacramento, LA, Cow Palace in San Francisco.
Two nights there.
Vancouver, Wichita, Kansas City, Omaha. That's the thing. If you just want to add dates in the middle of America, there's all these cities you can hit. You want to go to Cedar Rapids before you go to St. Louis? Fine. You want to play Springfield? Fine. You know, before you go to Chicago for three nights, you want to play Kalamazoo before you get to Detroit? It's fine. You know, there's all these places you can play. And I feel like now they kind of only hit the big ones, or they hit the middle ones if that's where they are in their career. They didn't play Louisville. Oh, yes, they did. They played Cardinal Stadium. Wow. Good for them.
I was going to say they had to, because I'm looking on this deal. They played the Frank Irwin Center in Austin. And then they played, they played San Antonio first, and then the Frank Irwin Center. That's maybe 45 minutes away. So you played two different cities. Nobody does that anymore. That's way too much.
I know, and they played all around Louisville, too. They went from Indy to Fort Wayne to Cincinnati to Columbus to Toledo to Nashville to Knoxville to Huntsville to Memphis to Louisville before they hit Atlanta. I'm like, wow, they really are just hitting them all, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've got the Civic Center in Amarillo, the Ector County Coliseum in Odessa, Texas. I mean, everywhere. Would they just pull off the side of the road? Hey, that place looks good. Let's play there tonight.
Yeah, and then they play Japan, and then they come back to the United States and play all these other dates before they go back to Germany at the end of the year. They want to wind up kind of at home. I get it. But then back in January, okay, they're in Brazil at Rock in Rio, you know, and they go back to Japan again, you know, and do a lot of stuff. Then they're back in the UK. Then they're back to Dallas playing the Cotton Bowl and, you know, playing Oakland Coliseum. I mean, you know, they just tour and tour and tour and tour. Mm-hmm. But if you've got the album to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Because, and then they get to do this residency in Vegas to celebrate it.
This tour is just, it's just massive. But I guess that was the deal back then. Like all those guys, if you were big enough to handle it, you were going to play every place that would take you.
Yeah. And the thing is, even if it's like, well, that's a college town, they couldn't, you know, well, they've got a football stadium in the college town, like that'll hold 60 to 90,000 people. So just go play it, you know, and maybe you'll only get 30, but maybe you'll get 65, and that's just free money at that point. So,
right.
So they have a legacy, you know, they have a place in hard rock. Their lyrics are not incredible, but their riffs are epic. They're classic. Mm-hmm. Klaus's voice probably doesn't get enough credit alongside the other people of his era, like the Bruce Dickinsons and the Rob Halfords and the Jeff Tates and the Ronnie James Dio's.
You hear him sing just a little bit and you know exactly who it is.
Absolutely. So God bless the Scorpions. They are still doing it. They haven't had that many lineup changes in the last 30 years.
Yeah, it's
so
been go see them for a long time. And then to pick up, Mickey D also after Motorhead ended. Yeah. That was a pretty big get for them too.
Absolutely. You know, so it's like, hey, you guys want to just keep doing? Rudolph might do this till he's 90. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. And if he can do it, God bless you, man. Go do it.
Just don't bring the mustache back.
Yeah, just leave that. Oof, leave that at the door, dude. Well, that's me and Jackson talking about Love at First Sting by the Scorpions as it turns 40. Our introduction to the band with the all-time epic Rock You Like a Hurricane. First time I ever saw him on MTV was the video, and it left a big impression on me. As it did, I think, for a lot of rock fans, probably mostly in America, but really all around the world. This is the album that has allowed them to keep going all these years. And you can see on the Worldwide Live video, which is a great document that captures them on that tour. Not only them playing live, but running to the plane and signing autographs and talking to DJs and playing with girls backstage. All the fun stuff you want to do in a rock band. Captured it very well. It's very of the time. And you got to be happy for them. It's a band that worked hard and they kept working and working and working. And suddenly they hit the big time. They're on private jets. They're headlining arenas, maybe even headlining some stadiums. That's pretty cool stuff. And it shows how big hard rock and roll was at that point in time. And it would only get better and bigger through the end of the decade. And I'm glad to see that they're still going. They just can't turn it off. They can't quit. Their farewell tour is still going strong. They got a nice residency in Vegas this April, and they're heading all over the world after that. Who cares if Rudolph is 76 years old this year? He's not stopping, so nothing's stopping you from seeing the Scorpions one more time before they call it quits. So we need to know, folks, did we get something right? Did we get something wrong? Did we miss the point? Did we leave out your favorite part? Let us know. Email us. It's uglyamericanwerewolf@gmail.com. You can let us know the bands, the concerts, the DVDs, the albums, the books, the rock properties you want us to talk about here on the show. And make sure you subscribe and download wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're thinking about it, guys, hey, give us a 5-star review. It means the world to us, and it really helps us find more rock and roll fans like you. And if you send it to us, we might just read it here on the show. Thanks to Pantheon Podcast for making this part of the family. And thanks to our sponsor, RareVinyl.com, where you can use the code UGLY to save 10% off one entire order from RareVinyl.com. That's it for this week. More anniversaries and special guests coming up in the near future, so you'll have to stay tuned. And to all you rock and rollers all around the world, be cool and keep doing what you do to keep rock alive.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.